This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. After our break, inshallah, today we will again consult our spiritual compass, which is the Quran, for inspiration and understanding of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and who we are and what life is all about. I've given the subject heading of my talk today, Conversation with the Angels, the Story of Man. And I want to give an introduction before I talk about man and the story of man and the conversation which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had with the angels, and unpack that somewhat for us to begin to understand how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicates in the Quran. Now, Muslims believe, all of us believe that, in fact, we assert this all the time. We say this, it's part of our faith and part of how we advertise our faith now. Part of how we get people to become positive towards Islam. We always say that the Quran is a revelation, number one. It's never been changed and it will never change. And it is applicable to all persons, all times, in all places. This is what we assert, this is what we believe. We tell people, this Quran is an eternal miracle. It will be a miracle. It started off as a miracle. It will end off as a miracle at the end of time. It will never change. But how is this possible? How is it possible to have a book that has these qualities? Qualities of it being applicable in all times. In 7th century Arabia, now in the 21st century, in the year 3000, 5,000, 10,000, it will still have an attraction for man. What is so special about this book? I mean, other books, you read it, you only read it once, you're not going to read it twice. If I give you a history book on Islam, you'll read it once and that's it. Unless it's, you know, you want to do some research and you read it. But otherwise, you read the book finish, whether it's fiction or non-fiction. So what is so special about the Quran? First of all, the language of the Quran had to be the language of the people to whom it was revealed. So the language of the Quran is essentially in Arabic. There's no other language being used in the Quran. And it had to be in Arabic because the Arabs only understood and spoke Arabic. So for us to say that this Quran is applicable for all time to all persons, what do we do with this, with the Arabic language in the interim? Because a lot of people don't understand Arabic. If this message, this compass, spiritual compass that Allah SWT has given to us, that we consult when we're in trouble, when we want to know where we have to go, if you understand something in the Quran about life, you know, we should, our first port of call must be the Quran. So if this Quran has to be functional and applicable for all time, it must transcend both language and culture. It must transcend language and transcend culture. Both things, culture and language, was very necessary in the time of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how does the Quran achieve this? How does the Quran transcend culture and language? In order to keep the Quran fresh. Wallahi al-azim, brothers and sisters, I'm not young and I'm not Don't regard myself as very old, but I've read the Quran over and over and over and over again. And I can tell you every single time I read the Quran, there is something that I never saw that I now see. There's something that I know that I didn't know before that I now look and I see, but this is actually what it means. This is what Al-Sawadal is saying. This that I thought didn't make any sense, it will eventually make sense to you. But you have to keep on reading the Quran. That's important. In your language. To transcend the Arabic language, you have to read it in English, as well as reading it in Arabic. So how does Allah achieve this? Allah achieves this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the language of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses what is called allegory. It's not a spice that you put in curry, no. Allegory is a symbol. Allah speaks using symbols. Allah speaks using analogy. Allah speaks using stories. Allah uses metaphor. So what is an allegory? An allegory is a story, maybe a poem, maybe a reference to something that happened in the past. But that story is not told in order to tell a story. No, Allah SWT tells a story in order to bring out, there's a hidden meaning in the stories of the Quran. I want you to listen very carefully to this. Every story, a lot of stories in the Quran, story of Nabi Musa, Nabi Isa, Fir'aun, Surah Yusuf, and Yusuf, beautiful. They call it the love story of the Quran. These are all stories. But in these stories, they're not just stories. In it, there are hidden meanings. Typically, there's a moral message or a spiritual message or a theological message or a message about belief or a message about what we should not do and what we should do. But it's said in a story way. That's why many of the stories of the Quran, there are no dates to it, like in the Bible and in the Torah. Sometimes even no names to it. We don't know. Dhul Qarnayn, for example. Allah speaks about Dhul Qarnayn in the Quran. Many people say that Dhul Qarnayn refers to Alexander the Great. But historically, it can't be. It can't be Alexander the Great. First of all, he was not a believer, Alexander the Great. And secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that he was there where the sun sets. And there was a pond of water, murky water. How do we understand this? Allah doesn't say who he was, where the sun sits, none of that. Just that story. So what do we have to do? We look at that story and we should try and interpret that story. Like we interpret the story of Nabi Yusuf. And Allah warns us in Nabi Yusuf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say there's some who say there were so many men with a dog. Others say five, some say six, some say four, some say seven, some say this. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? Allah says, don't speculate. Take the story as it is and read the story as it is. Don't speculate. Some people say he was buried, these men of the cave, this cave is in Jordan and this cave is in Jerusalem and this cave is here. That is not the point of the story. If that was the point of the story, Allah would have told us, this cave is here, you could find it. 2 degrees north, 3 degrees south. No. For example, I'll give you an example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Zamakhshari, one of the famous Mufassirun, people who interpret the Quran, and who tell us what the Quran means, and interprets the stories of the Quran, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses something that we know. The illustration he says is, it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every time he tells us something, a story or whatever it may be, or an incident, it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us something that we know to refer us to something that that our mind can't perceive. For example, Allah talks about Jannah in the Quran. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to keep Jannah alive. The Arabs had to understand it. They had to be attracted by the description of Jannah. So must we be attracted in the 21st century. So must our great-great-grandchildren be attracted to this concept of Jannah. Otherwise, what's the point of offering us Jannah if we think, well, we've seen it. I mean, it's, you know, nothing, it will be nothing new to us. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Jannah in the Quran. What does Allah say about Jannah? فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنْ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah describes the Jannah allegorically in a sentence that embraces almost everything that we want and we don't know. Allah says, no person knows. So first of all, it's a complete surprise packet. No person knows what delights of the eye. You need to live, we live in the eye today. Everything's about the eye, about the iPad and about, you know, the TV and all the other social media. It's not about listening anymore. There was a time when we lived in the period of listening, Springbok radio, and radios were very important. Everybody had a radio. If you had a radio, you considered to be somebody. It's all about the ears. Today, it's all about the eyes. And in the Jannah to all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, it's mainly about what you will see there that will fascinate you. Allah says, no person knows what delights of the eye are kept hidden in reserve for them. I'm not saying that everybody will get an iPad in Jannah. I'm not saying that. But we won't need iPads. If it's the iPads, then it will be like dunya. So there's no iPads. Something greater than iPads, inshallah. And then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked to describe Jannah. Sahaba wanted to know, you know, they gave their lives, they went to jihad because they knew there was Jannah. And the Prophet described it, فِيهَا مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرْ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Jannah, فِيهَا in Jannah is what the eye has never seen, never, never, never. No eye has ever seen what is Jannah. وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ. No ears ever heard such musical tones, one may say, or sounds that you will hear in Jannah. You know, we all have people have their specialties. Some like old classical music, some like this. You know, our kids like music that we say, why listen to this? So we think we've heard the whole gamut of music, of sounds. But Prophet said, you'll hear sounds in Jannah that you've never heard on this dunya. وَلَا خَطَرْ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. And in Jannah are things which you never longed for in the dunya. You know, we long for a lot of stuff in the dunya. A home on the sea, lots of money, whatever. Degrees, education, and so forth and so on. Then, so by these references and the way Allah describes it, Allah talks about Anharul Jannah, the rivers of the Jannah. We can picture that in our mind. We associate it with the rivers we see in the dunya. And we can picture when Allah talks about rivers of milk, we can almost picture a river that is completely white. But it's nothing compared to what is awaiting us in the Jannah. So representations are made. Allah talks in terms of symbols. Allah talks in terms of, and the Arabs could understand rivers and we can understand rivers. And the Arabs could understand the concept of things we haven't seen, haven't heard, our hearts haven't longed for, and we can also identify with it. And the Quran very seldom tells us where these stories took place. Sometimes never even the names of the people in the stories. Allah will just say, two men, one man did this, another man did that. No reference to anybody. So in order for us to find what is the hidden purpose, hidden wisdom, hidden meaning in that particular story. So let me give you something which you may be aware of the Arabic, but you may not be aware of or know the always know the translation of the words. I will read the surah for you, the words of the surah, and you'll immediately recognize it. Allah says, وَضَرِبَ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and you know what surah it is, yes? Surah Yasin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Prophet, set forth to them the parable. Allah calls it a parable. Allah calls it a symbol. Allah calls it allegory. In other words, in the story, there's a hidden meaning. وَضْرِبَ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا Allah says, talk to them about the companions of the village. What companions? No name. What village? No name. إِذْ جَاءَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ Allah says, when messengers came to this village, where's this village? We don't know. Who these messengers are? We don't know. وَجَاءَ And these people came, and they came with a message. Then Allah says, I'm not going to give all the verses, I'm going to tell you. We'll see at the end what who these men were and what their purpose was. But at the beginning, it should capture our attention. Allah finally says, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلُ يَسْعَى And a man came from the outskirts of the town, and he came to the city also. So what did they come and do there? قَالَ يَا قَوْبِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ This man, the third man who came, he told the people of this city, and you should listen to these two people who came to speak to you, you know. And they came with three messages, these two men. The one man came to tell the people, listen to them. And he told the people, اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون. Listen to these men. They don't ask you for any reward, for any payment, and they are guided. They want to share the guidance with you. And this man says to the village people, وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدَ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي Yes, وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ He says, look at me. Why should I worship anyone besides Allah? That was the message. These men came, well, that was the message. So it's not the men that was important, it was the message which was important. It was a village like any other village. Anybody can, until the end of time, identify with a place, with a city, with a village. They can identify with messengers coming to the village. But now the purpose of that is, also people can also identify with the message itself through all time. وَمَا لِيَ لَا He says, it's impossible for me to worship anybody else except the one who created me, this man says. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ And you, and to him, all of you shall return. So his first message. First message was this men asking you for nothing. They are who? They're messengers from Allah. وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِيَةً He says, أَأَتَّخِذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِيَةً He says, do you want to take a God besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So what was the message? إِيُّرِدِنِ الرَّحْمَنِ Then he says to them, he says to the people of the village, you want to take another God besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You want to worship somebody else? You want to ask somebody else? You want to elevate the status of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he says to them, إِيُّرِدِنِ الرَّحْمَنُ بِدُرِّنِ لَا تُغْنِ عَنِّي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا He says, if Allah wants to harm me, he tells the people, if Allah wants to do harm to me, this message who came from far, he's telling the people about the two messengers who came. He says, if Allah wants to harm me, these men who came to give you the message, their intercession by Allah will not help me. وَلَا يُنْقِذُونِ And they cannot save me. So what I'm saying to you is these men have come with a message. They've not come with magic. They've not come to offer you that, oh, you know, on Day of Qiyamah, we will intercede for you. No, 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 no. He says that's not their job. Intercession is not their work. Saving you is not their work. That's the work of who? That's the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All they came to tell you is, do not worship anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the message of these verses. And tomorrow morning, inshallah, when you read Surah Yasin, when you come to Wadriba Lahum, remember, I said, there were two men who came to a village, told the people to worship. We didn't say where the village was, whatever, but we can identify with it. They came, what did they come and do? Bring the message of the oneness of Allah, to worship Allah alone. I don't know how I can bring this to your attention and put it inside your hearts. I want to put this inside your hearts. Turn only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the message of the Quran. Read the Quran. If you want to know the truth, don't listen to this. Usually you yourself can read the Quran. You know now about allegory, knowledge speaks like this. So you see a symbol, think, oh. Now I know. This year is symbolic. That's why there are no names, no places. I have to look at it and I have to read. And sometimes the answer to the question in that surah is in the next surah. So therefore, the Quran must be read slowly. So we see then that these verses of Surah Yasin reinforces Tawheed. Right? That is the purpose of these men coming, to teach us about Tawheed. Subhanallah. So Allah teaches us what Tawheed is. And what Aqeedah is. Belief. أن تؤمنوا بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله. That's the Aqeedah. Tawheed is the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today, inshallah, we will approach our spiritual compass by looking at the story of man, our story. What is our story? When I talk about our story, I mean the story of mankind. All the books that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent speaks about the story of mankind. The Torah, the Injil, now comes the Quran, and all the other kutub that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. And awraq, pages that Allah revealed to other anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. So we go to Surah Baqarah, and we go to verse 30 of Surah Al-Baqarah. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 30 of Surah Al-Baqarah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I want you to picture the scene. And the scene is that this is the angels are gathered in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't see Adam. We hear a conversation taking place between Allah and all the angels. Subhanallah. This is how Allah introduces the story of man. Listen carefully. Listen to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces the story of man. It's very important. This is part of the symbolism of the Quran. What does Allah say? Oh, that I've created man and then I've come to create a woman? No. I created man from this or from that? No. Doesn't say in the beginning I created Adam from clay and so forth and so on, and then I created his mate also from clay, and then no. What does Allah say? وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ. Allah calls all the angels together. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is perfectly planned. Every stage is perfectly planned. You will now see how perfect the plans of Allah are. That's why the Quran says, and we know this, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. And they plan and Allah plan. And Allah is the best of planner. Because Allah has already planned it billions and billions and millions of centuries ago. Allah already prepared the whole plan for everything until the day of Qiyamah. So what did Allah say? Allah said, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ. Allah called the angels together. This conversation specifically between the angels and Allah. There was no, Adam wasn't there. What did Allah say to the angels? Allah said to the angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَ. Allah doesn't tell them, I'm going to, let's walk and I'll show you where I've created this new being. It's called Adam. No. Allah says, I'm going to place on the dunya, my khalifa. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Oh. Angels. We'll see. They were surprised by this. Angel was surprised by this. So they responded. They said, قالوا. All of them said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَا يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِقُ الدِّمَاء. Said, Allah. This is, of course, disappointing news for them. The answer tells us that they were disappointed. Because we're going to read a lot into this. They said, Ya Allah, are you going to put on the earth beings that are going to shed blood? Beings that are going to do facade on the earth? Destroy the atmosphere, destroy the world, fight with each other, kill each other? Is your creation that you're going to, this Khalifa, is this going to be part of his personality? And what did they say after that? They said, you know, when you work in a company, you work for a boss, or you work anywhere. And the boss calls all together and he says, you know, I'm going to appoint a second CEO. I'm going to appoint this, I'd like your views on it. First of all, there'll be a silence, and then people will say, but why are you going to appoint somebody else? We don't need anybody. We've got everybody here, you know. Maybe one of us could become. Maybe one of us could. He insists, no, it's going to be someone else. This is the same situation. Allah says, I'm going to appoint a Khalifa on the earth. They say, wow. No, hold it, Ya Allah. Maybe these people are not going to be beneficial. Maybe they're going to do all this corruption. In fact, it did come about in many instances. So they now present their CV to Allah. That's how you do it. If you want the job, you always say, no, he's not good enough. You know, leave that. Yeah. Look at my credentials. So they bring their credentials, the angels bring their credentials. What do they say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُنَا. Say, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi, you know us. You know our reputation. You've seen our CVs. We praise you. This is continuous. For millions and millions of billions of years, we praise you. وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. And we glorify your holiness. That's what we do. We have so much love for you, Ya Rab. Now, when I read this now, doing the research, and I must tell you that this is based on a book by a professor of mathematics, an American, born American professor of mathematics. His name is Jeffrey Lang. He became Muslim. And he wrote this book, Even Angels Ask. And this is just 3 pages out of the book. I've used it as my basis. So what struck me now when I did my research, I thought to myself, wow. My impression of angels were that they were, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, La ya'asuna. Allah describes the angels in the Quran. Allah says, La ya'asuna Allah ma amarahum wa yaf'aluna ma yu'marun. Allah describes the angels. How does Allah describe the angels? Allah says, La ya'asuna Allah ma amarahum. They never disobey Allah's command. Wa yaf'aluna ma yu'marun. And they do whatever they are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Means they are completely obedient. There's not a moment of disobedience from the angels. Whatever Allah says do, they do. Whatever Allah says don't do, they don't do. For the whole life of the existence until the end of time. So now we see, but you, the angels, are gainsaying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Saying, but we don't agree. What does it tell us? It tells us the angels were not the robots. They had what we call minds of their own. They could think for themselves. That they're doing what Allah tells them to do wasn't because they were robots. No, they did it willingly. Because they could say, they could, to respond by saying, no, but we, you know, They didn't say we disagree. They said, yeah, we are. Look at our CVs. Rather put us on the dunya. We'll praise you. Don't put these human beings there. They're going to be a disaster. What did Allah say? But you had nothing to say in the matter. I'm just informing you. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to them, verily, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Subhanallah. Subhanallah, thumma subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ. I know what you do not know. In other words, what you know, and the difference between me and you, the creator and the created, is that I know and you don't know. And what is that knowledge that Allah is talking about? That's all knowledge. But the most important of that is what? Knowledge of the unseen. We may have a lot of knowledge, but nobody has got knowledge of the unseen. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about Adam, what he can do, what he can't do, who he is. Only Allah has that knowledge. And only Allah has knowledge of what you're going to do today and tomorrow. Nobody has that knowledge. So when Allah says, Inni alamu, I know. Allah says, you look, I understand, I created you, you beautiful people. You know, when even, you know, we regard angels to be, you know, if we have a beautiful a child that's born, Allah gives us a beautiful little girl. So, oh, what an angel. Thank Allah for little girls. You know, they're all angels, isn't it? And boy, little boys are all devils, isn't it? And we call people who are good, we say, oh, that man was an angel. Or that woman was an angel, you know. My mother was an angel. Subhanallah. This is how we describe people. Yeah, we see the angels. We may be angels, but we have our own thoughts. So Allah subhanahu says, I know what you do not know. So, now of course, Allah illustrates to them what he means by this. So we now have a situation of difference of knowledge. Allah now talks about what is Allah. How does Allah introduce the concept of man? Allah introduces the concept of know, of knowing, of knowledge. And that's why when you read the Quran mentions ilm, which is knowledge, 854 times. 854 times in the Quran. But the angel said, but we make dhikrullah, you know. Isn't that good enough, Ya Rab? We praise you 24/7. It doesn't seem as if that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is the best kind of worship. What does Allah say? What is the best? Knowledge. I am the Lord because I have knowledge. I am your Lord because I know what I've created the world, first of all, but I have all the knowledge. That's why I'm your Lord. And people who have knowledge, we know. They're the people who rise above everybody else. And those who have no knowledge, even if they have all the money in the world, can never rise above the rest. Because the rest can also become rich in the end. But knowledge is something that you have to strive for. And there is nothing that can match knowledge. And nobody can take your knowledge away. They can kidnap you and put you in a room for 100 years. But they can't take your knowledge away from you. It goes with you into the prison, into the room, wherever you go. And so it'll go with you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it'll be presented to you on your scales the day of judgment. Subhanallah. May Allah grant us to be of the people of knowledge. It will always learn. And this is a book we must learn. We have learned nothing else. Read this book. All right. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ أَسْهُنَّ. Allah, the angels have probably left now, and they're reflecting on what Allah said. And of course, now they, you know, when Allah said, you know, I know what you don't know, they were not quiet. Of course, they can't say anything now. So now they left. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam. The angels know that Allah is going to create a being which is going to now be Allah's Khalifa on the earth. They're probably discussing it amongst themselves. What does Allah do? Wa'allam. Allah now teaches Adam. So what is the preparation for Adam to come down onto the earth? First, lessons first. Allama. Allah says, Before Allah talks about this, the creation of Adam, Allah says, وَعَلَّمَ الْآدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Allah taught him the names of everything. What does it mean Allah taught him the names of everything? We human beings are the only creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can give everything a name. We can name everything. We find a new flower, we give it a long Latin name. Isn't it? Look at all the modern names that we created for ourselves and we now give our children. We're creative. Everything's given a name. And some names are wacky and some names are this and some names are repeated. And we talk about the new lingo and all this and new words coming into the language. This is the creativeness of man. Angels don't have this. So therefore, man is the only creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has cumulative knowledge. We can accumulate our knowledge. Why? Because we can write it down. We write. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. First verse of the Quran is writing. No other creation of Allah can write. Only we can write. And the time when there were no pens, we used to knock, we used to write into stone. And we can leave. I mean, the Rosetta Stone they found in Rosetta, northern Egypt. People didn't know what hieroglyphics was. All that was written by all the pharaohs and Nabi Musa before, nobody could read it because they didn't understand hieroglyphics. And only the 17th century, a French soldier found this Rosetta Stone. And on this Rosetta Stone, you know, people had chipped out messages. And they discovered that the same message was written in two languages, in Greek and in hieroglyphics. So this man, when he read, he could read Greek, the soldier, the French soldier, said, but this is Greek, I can read this. Then they discovered that the message written in hieroglyphics was a translation of the Greek. So now they could read hieroglyphics. Oh, that letter is that and that letter is that. So we are the only creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can understand language and transfer our knowledge via language. And how do we know language? How do we speak language and we read language? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did Allah do to Adam? What is his preparation? Allama. Allah became his teacher. Allama means he taught. And the teacher teaches the child. That's why I say that this civilization of Islam in the world will stand and fall by the education of our children. Islam. So I'm not talking about sending your child to pre-primary school and to pay 2,000 rand a month for him to learn 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No. That is not going to keep this Islam alive. What is going to keep Islam alive is what we neglect the most, and that is the education of our preschool children. The formative years of their life. We don't even have a syllabus. SubhanAllah. We talk about so many things. I mean, you know, we spend time on, in the last 3 weeks or so, all the time was spent on reading WhatsApp on somebody who announced his marriage and other people who disagreed with this and other people who disagreed with that. And I'm looking at this scenario and thinking, SubhanAllah. And they use language that I don't understand even. New modern language. Well, that's part of what Allah SWT endowed us with. It's the creation of language and words. I just said that. But we must use it effectively. Must use it effectively. So let's say what did Allah teach Adam? Asma. Allah taught him the names of everything. The names meaning here, descriptions of everything. Oh, this when you go down to earth, this you'll see this. This will be name of that, that'll be that, this. Allah taught him. That's what you learn in school. You'll get taught by people teaching you the names of things. In a broader sense. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented this body of knowledge to the angels. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, أَنْبِئُونِ بَأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَى إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah took all the objects that he showed Adam and give names to, and he said to the angel, now you give me the names of these things. Give me the names of these things. Like you say to a child, you know, you show him a letter A when he's small. You say, tell me, what is this letter? You won't know until you teach him. Same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angel, what is this? They didn't know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanaka. What did the angel say? They realized. They said, glory be to Allah. La ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. We have no knowledge yet, O our Lord, except the knowledge that you taught us. So the angels have no knowledge except what Allah taught them. And they know nothing except what Allah taught them. We can extend our knowledge all the time. All the time we extend our knowledge. Innaka antal alimul hakim. Oh Allah, you are all. The angel said, oh Allah, you are the most wise, the all knowing. They realize now this is fine. We now realize that, you know, we as angels are created for a purpose. You've created another being with another purpose that knows more than what we know. All we know is what you taught us. Qala ya Adam. So Allah called Nabi Adam. So now it's the first time the angels see Adam. But they know already, Allah's prepared them. Allah's prepared them for this meeting of angels and Adam. So what did Allah say to Adam? Qala ya Adam. O Adam. Anbi'hum bi asma'i. Anbi'hum bi asma'ihim. Tell them the names of these things. فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ And when Adam gave them the name, rattled off all the names of all the things that was there in front. قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, Didn't I tell you? إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ I know the secrets of the heavens and the earth. I, Allah, know the secrets of the heavens and the earth. وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know what you reveal and what you conceal. Subhanallah. So Allah tells the angel, I knew. When I created you, I knew what you're going to know and what you're not going to know. I know now what you are thinking and what you're not thinking. Subhanallah. Now if somebody confronts you with that, you say, in that case, I've got nothing more to say. All right, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels. Then angels are not convinced. Ya Allah, we've got nothing more to say. Innaka antal alimul hakim. You are the most knowledgeable, you are. Subhanallah, what a conversation, eh? This is a conversation between Allah and what He created. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala convinces in stages. Even the angels are to be convinced. That's why Allah said there's so many books to convince us as well. And angels are already, I mean, they are creatures which they have no sin, they're sinless. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the method, this is the divine methodology. And this is the methodology of the Quran. He's so always, Allah could say, I'm your Lord. You just believe in me and that's it. No. That's not the divine method. Divine methodology is to convince you, to make you absolutely believe in what is in this book is the truth. And when Nabi Musa said, Ya Rabbi, you've spoken to me and you've sent me revelation, I want now to see you. All them say, what? No. He said, Allah, I want to see you. What did Allah say to Musa? Lan tarani. You can never see me. That's not part of the package as a prophet. I will speak to you. I will send you revelation. I will look after you, but you can't see me. Lan tarani. Allah said, why do you want to see me? He says, you know, my heart, I want my heart to be contented that you really, you know what I mean? Allah says, all right, I know you, human being. Well, it's all about your heart. You know, it's like you know, you meet somebody and you get married and you say, do you love me? You know? So the girl says, but, you know, you come and see. He says, but, Well, I want to know. So we ask, you know, why? Because, you know, I want to, my heart, I, you know, just to settle my heart. So Musa the same. This is how human beings are. So Allah said, all right, look to the mountain. If you can look at that mountain and nothing happens to you, you can see me. So Allah sent one ray of his nur onto the mountain. The mountain crumbled in dust and Musa fell. Down, unconscious. And when he woke up, he said, Subhan. He said, glory be to Allah, just like the angels. Because he realized, if one ray of the nur of Allah destroyed the mountain, then let me not go there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always tries to convince us in some way about the truth of everything. And that's why Islam is the absolute truth. There's some modern scholars who say no, but you know, there's no such thing as truth. We will never know the truth on the dunya. Because everything will only reveal to us on the akhirah, astaghfirullah. So mean, are you saying the possibility is that all that we have here, the Quran, everything, may not be the truth? That Allah's got another book that He will show us in the Qiyamah and say, this is actually the truth? This is the absolute mean, complete, full, undeniable, unchangeable truth. It has to be. So, what happened then? He says, now you're convinced. Now I want you to make sujood to this Adam. See, there he is. I want you to make sujood to him. And the sujood, of course, is sujood of what? Not sujood of ibadah. Because the angels have already said, we only glorify you, your greatness and your glory. So they immediately made sujood. Why? They could have, why didn't they say, Ya Rab, but sorry, no. We only make sujood to you and we only... They didn't say that. Why? Because this was a sujood of sujood to knowledge. This was a sujood that... No. The difference between us and man is man knows, we don't know. We only know what Allah teaches us. Man is greater than us. So Allah is telling them, by now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seals the argument between the status of man and the status of angel. Allah had to do that because angels, they controlled everything. Now there's another person coming into the picture. It's like an employer, he employs somebody new. So he has to convince his other staff, look man, this man is just a man like you. But these are his qualifications. And when you see his qualifications, oh, fine, you know. No. Then no. We can't come employ him. Put him on the books. Ahlan wa sahlan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to them, they've realized they've been slowly convinced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now comes the acceptance. They made sujood. A sujood of acceptance of the greatness of knowledge over the great of that those who have no knowledge. So the difference between us and between the angels and man is knowledge. And amongst us, it is knowledge. So, and now, angels have accepted, mashallah. So they'll go around their jobs and they work, as they normally would. So now there was Iblis. He was from the jinn. And he refused, as you know, to make sujood. And he had two problems that all of us have in some way. That is, we think too much of ourselves. We always think that somehow or other, I'm better than so-and-so, or I'm better than so-and-so. We're proud, egotistical. We are self-centered. That is us human beings. In all of us is a little bit of all of that. And we try and fight against it. That's why the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the hadith, من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من الكبر لا يدخل الجنة. Prophet said, whoever has an atom's weight of pride in him, in his heart, he will never enter Jannah. Serious statement. So the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah. One Sahabi got and said, Ya Rasulullah, but I like to wear nice clothes. I always like to look nice. Muslim must look good. We know that. And he says, I like to wear nice shoes. I like to wear, I like to have a nice camel, love a nice house. Like we all do. So the Prophet said, smiled and said, no, that is not kibr. To like to wear nice clothes and to like to be nice and have a nice car and have a nice house, that's not kibr. So the Sahaba said, what is kibr, Ya Rasulullah? So the Prophet said, Batarul haq, wa ghamtun nas. Prophet said, kibr is to reject the truth when you hear the truth. That's kibr. Angels didn't have kibr. When Allah told them that Adam knew more than you, they didn't say, but yeah, really? We thought we were the greatest creation of you, Ya Rab. We live in the heavens. We are made of light. We only obey you. We make only the dhikr of you. They could have really kept on us. But what was it? They knew. They accepted that it was knowledge. Knowledge of the truth. So don't be of those people who say, yeah, sivaridma. Sorry. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Batarul haq is kibr. You will not enter Jannah. Not enter Jannah. Because if the Sahaba had said to the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah, Muhammad, a lot of them said, okay, we know it's the truth, but you know, we've been worshipping like this, idols, and you know, going to the Kramat and doing this, and you know, rubbing our hands over the Kramat and all this, you know, just as an example. And elevate the status of all the dead people with this. And we know Islam says you can't do those things. Can't do those things. It's wrong. And you say, but then Allah says, no, you have kibar in your heart because you're not prepared to accept the truth. Wa ghamtun nas. And the second type of kibar is to look down on other people. Shaitan said in another verse of the Quran, Shaitan says, he was asked, why didn't you want to make sujood to Adam? He said, Ana khayrun min. I'm better than him. Those words cost him to be called the rejected one. Shaitan ar-rajim. Ar-rajim means rejected one. Somebody pushed far away. Get away from you. This is rajim, Shaitan ar-rajim. Because of kibr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, inshallah. I have to just finish off now. The last part is always the best part. Always no very little time for the last part. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Adam, okay, Adam, you are going to be, you know, Allah knew that he was going to be sent down to earth, but how? Adam didn't know. So Allah said to him, yes, here's the Jannah for you. And Allah gave him a wife. Here's the Jannah. And Allah said, La taqrabu hadhi shajara. Oh, enjoy, eat from all the fruit. Allah says, but don't go near that. Allah doesn't say, don't eat from that tree. Allah says, don't go near that tree. Just another tree. Allah doesn't say it's a big tree as well. Just a tree. Nothing serious. Oh, Adam, if you go near the tree, Allah says to you, you're going to be one of the bad people. Not going to be a good person. So, you're going to be among the wrongdoers. فأذلهما الشيطان. So he enjoyed it. Then Shaitan came. Another verse of the Quran, Shaitan came and told Adam, that is Shajarat al-Khuld. That is the tree of everlasting life. The tree that Allah said, don't go near. That tree will give you everlasting life and a place that will never grow old and decrepit. In other words, the world that you're going to live in will always be the same if you eat that tree, fruit of that tree. So he ate of the tree. Surprisingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say, oh, you know, his wife is the problem, was the problem, and she wanted to eat, and then she gave him a tree, and you can see here by a man, you know, we call this Adam's apple. That's just fairy tales. Both of them ate the tree from the fruit. Allah doesn't blame the woman or the man. Both of them took responsibility. Adam didn't say, yeah, it was my wife, and she, Hawa didn't say, yeah, it's my husband, like to. There, you know, I talked to a lot of people and, you know, couples, and always the one will say, yeah, she's to blame, and she will say he's to blame. Allah says, sometimes both of you are to blame. Adam and Hawa, both of them were to blame. فَأَزَّلَّهُمَا Shaitan made them both slip up. Allah uses the word slip. Why don't you think this is a great crime? Allah says, don't go there. They go there. They eat the fruit. First, Allah says, don't go near. They go near and eat the fruit. So we think, oh, you know, normally you would turn the page and think, what is the punishment, subhanallah, for disobeying Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, this man and woman? No? But Allah describes it just as a slip. Just a slip. A slip is when you walk and your foot slips. That's what they did. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, all of you will go down. Hawa, you Adam, you Iblis, Shaitan, I'm sending you all down to earth. There will be a dwelling place, and there you will be for a time. And then what is the immediate next verse? You curse, and you have to go there, and you're going to suffer there, and you're going to do this. No, Allah says, Allah taught him what to say, and Allah said to him, Allah turned to him mercifully. And Allah said to him, and Allah says, truly he is the most oft forgiving, the most merciful. He created the most damaging incident in the history of us. If he didn't go, him and his wife go near the tree and eat from the fruit, we would be in Jannah. He creates this big storm in our lives, and all that happens to him is Allah forgives him. And Allah forgives her. Allah says, go down. No sin on you. I've forgiven you. Bismillah. Go make your life there. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That is the nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He teaches us everything, warns us of everything. Then we do exactly the opposite of what he told us to do. Then he says, make tawbah, and then he gives us Jannah. We should cry. I mean, I should sit in front of you and cry. And then he gave us a day to make tawbah today. Today is the 10th of Muharram. It's the day of tawbah. Day of fasting and the day of tawbah. Person who makes tawbah sincerely today, Allah forgive him. May Allah forgive us all, inshallah. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, wa atubu ilayk. We seek your forgiveness, O Allah, wa atubu ilayk, and we return to you. What is the difference between istighfar and tawbah? If you say astaghfirullah and tawbah, ya Rabb, what's the difference? The difference is that istighfar is asking forgiveness of even all the things you did and you forgot you did. That is astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah, ya Allah. All my sins from the day I became baligh, from the day of 15 until now, I can't remember all the things I did. Please forgive me. And tawbah is for the things you remember that you did yesterday, day before, and last year. All the things you can remember, even in your whole life. Think, oh, you know, I did that big thing. I did that. I did that. I did that. That is tawbah. For that, say Allah, I ask you tawbah. So we ask Allah for tawbah, for the things that we know we did. And please don't say intentionally or unintentionally. That really works on my nerves. Everything we do is intentionally. And that's why we have to make Tawbah. You can't sit in the court of law and say, sir, I didn't do it intentionally. Poor man, you know, he died, but I didn't mean, you know, for him to be dead when I shot him with a gun. I can't say that. Doesn't make sense. So this is the story of, it's actually not the story of the creation of Adam, because Allah doesn't describe in detail how he creates Adam. He describes in detail how he prepares existing employees or future employees, if we may call it that, how he blends them and how he makes them love one another, and how he puts the test. And this is the other thing. After he teaches you, after Allah teaches us, Allah tests us. Everything is like this. School is a great example of that. After you get taught, what do they give you? An exam. Isn't it? And after the exam, nowadays, actually, they follow the divine way. Even if you fail, they put you to the next stage. They forgive you and put you to the next class. In my days, when you failed, that was it. So, subhanAllah, ultimately, the lessons of the Quran is the lessons of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us today, Yawm al-Ashura. It's a great day in Islam. Sunnah to fast. Sunnah mu'akkadah. Prophet fasted. Prophet said, next year, if I'm alive, I will fast the day before, or the day, and the day after. It is a sunnah fast. If you don't fast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows why. Allah knows what is in your heart. But make tawbah. And you make tawbah not only for yourself. Make tawbah for all. I mention always my students and my teachers. Always mention asatida, unafil asatizati, or tulabi and my students. That's what we are. That's how we started. Adam was first, he was first a student. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَى Allah says, and he taught. The first relationship he had with Adam was teacher-student. Jibreel and Muhammad teacher-student. Sahaba and Muhammad, teacher-student. And so we should all either be, remain either a student or a teacher. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that we always be teachers and students, or both. والله تعالى عالم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.